Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Within the last 30 minutes, President and First Lady landed safely at Seymour Johnson Air Force Base aboard Air Force One, the focus of their visit to North Carolina.
Also, three Republicans hoping to replace President Biden are also heading here, and those candidates plan to test their message to supporters.
And it's still hazy across our viewing area, but our air quality has improved since this morning. I'll show you where we're headed into the weekend.
It's a huge day in politics here in North Carolina as the campaign 2024 heats up. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Ken Smith in for Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. WRAL will have crews across the state covering several high-profile visits. We'll bring you full coverage of the GOP convention in Greensboro, where Donald Trump, Mike Pence, and Ron DeSantis will all attend the event. We begin, though, with President Biden's visit. WRAL was in Goldsboro this morning when the president and first lady arrived there around 11:30 this morning at Seymour Johnson Air Force Base. Then they will make their way to Rocky Mount, where they plan to tour Nash Community College at 1 and head to Fort Liberty around 3:30 to make a big announcement. WRAL Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie is live in Rocky Mount right now with a preview of what President Biden plans to do there. Laura.
Renee, President Biden is expected to be speaking with some students about workforce training here at Nash Community College. He's also expected to make some remarks about workforce development and job creation before he heads back to Fort Liberty. We expect Governor Cooper will be along with him. Biden's stop here is one of, as you were saying, four presidential campaign visits to the state today and tomorrow. Later today, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis will appear at the state Republican convention in Greensboro. And tomorrow, former President Donald Trump and former Vice President Mike Pence will speak at that same convention. A National Democratic Party chairman, Jamie Harrison, spoke to reporters just minutes ago, contrasting the president with the three Republican candidates.
While these MAGA extremists are really laser focused on trying to take our country backwards, taking away health care decisions from women, choosing the NRA over our kids, banning books, the counter is President Biden. He's been hard at work delivering results on the issues that matter the most to the American people.
North Carolina is one of the biggest swing states in the country. In 2020, the state voted for a Republican for president and a Democrat for governor, so it's very much up for grabs. Now, if it feels like an early start for presidential campaigns, it kind of is, right? We're still 17 months out from the election. But you have to remember, President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris have made several trips and visits to North Carolina over the last couple of years. And former President Donald Trump was here last fall campaigning for candidates. It's likely that we'll see a whole lot more of all of them in the weeks to come.
It's a sign of our state's importance on the campaign trail here. Laura Leslie, live in Rocky Mount.
Former President Trump is also headed to the Tar Heel State this weekend, despite the historic indictment by a federal grand jury. This is linked to his handling of more than 100 classified documents that were discovered last year at his Mar-a-Lago resort in Florida. Now, moments before we came on the air, we learned that the case initially will be handled by Judge Eileen Cannon. She was nominated to the bench by Trump in 2020. NBC's Bree Jackson explains what we know about this indictment.
This marks the first time in U.S. history that a former president has been indicted on federal charges. NBC News has learned that at least one of the charges that former President Trump faces is related to the Espionage Act.
Mr. Trump, can we have a...
Former President Trump indicted on seven criminal charges in connection to more than 100 classified documents seized from his Florida estate. Trump claiming innocence in this video posted online.
I did nothing wrong, and we will fight this out just like we've been fighting for 7 years.
The indictment is sealed, but two sources briefed on the matter say charges include false statements. His legal team says there's at least one charge related to the Espionage Act.
We'll see the indictment sometime between now and Tuesday afternoon, and we think that's the only indictment that we're facing.
A spokesperson for the special counsel declined to comment on the case. Experts say let the legal process play out.
It's not enough that you have a strong case. It is also important that the public understand that this is not selective prosecution, that this is not somebody who's singled out.
Trump allies are weighing in. On Twitter, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy called the indictment a dark day for the United States of America. GOP presidential challengers are also defending the frontrunner.
What we've seen over the last several years is the weaponization of the Department of Justice against the former president.
Trump insists the charges are politically motivated.
They're trying to destroy a reputation so they can win an election.
This marks the second time the former president has been indicted since he left office. And former President Trump is set to appear in a federal court in Miami on Tuesday. In Washington, Bree Jackson, NBC News.
Well, Republican officials here in North Carolina say Trump is still planning to speak at the state GOP convention in Greensboro tomorrow. Former Vice President Mike Pence and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis are also expected to address that convention. Now, experts say their appearances show just how important North Carolina is for candidates to test their message with voters. Now, coming up at 12:30, NC Capitol reporter Will Doran will give us some insight into what voters could hear.
Hazy skies are with us again today. Our air quality varies across the area right now. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center tracking how much improvement we're making in terms of the air getting back to safer levels. Elizabeth.
Early this morning, we had a code red air quality alert for parts of the Triangle area, Wake County into Franklin County. And of course, that back down to code orange. Right now, the number is 123. It looks like we could drop down to 101. And this, of course, is particles per million in the atmosphere per cubic meter. Our air quality alert has changed a little bit this morning. Earlier, we had code yellow for everybody except for here in Wake County, and the Department of Air Quality has added a number of additional counties north and east of the Triangle area where we continue to have some lingering code orange air quality. And of course, that means that it's dangerous for children, the elderly, sensitive groups. If you have asthma or any lung problems, those are the folks that are going to have the potential to have some issues with our air quality today. You can see this is a look at our current map, and a lot of folks are seeing the yellow right now, but of course we're continuing to see that code orange forecast is exactly where we're seeing some code orange air quality too, right here in Wake County, up through Franklin County, up the I-85 corridor, and over toward Roanoke Rapids. So that's where we're seeing it right now. Earlier this morning, again, as I mentioned, we had some code red from St. Raleigh to Garner up toward Lewisburg, but that has mixed out of the atmosphere a little bit, and it's been downgraded to code orange. So that means most folks will be fine today. It's just a sensitive groups need to take it easy. Very hazy here at the airport, as you can see. Our temperature is 76, so it's still a very mild day today. We've had our wind lightly coming out of the north. Of course, that continues to push the smoke into our area, but it's also added some dry air into the mix, so our humidity is nice and low, and our high temperature of 81 this afternoon is below normal, which is in the mid-80s. Now, we could see temperatures bouncing above normal by Sunday. As a matter of fact, Sunday could be the hottest day that we've seen so far this year. I'll explain coming up.
Elizabeth, thanks. Well, Canada is seeing its worst ever start to wildfire season with fires across much of the country, which is creating hazardous smoky conditions here in the U.S. Aerial footage from the British Columbia Wildfire Service showed red glow of flames across hilltops, filling the sky with dark smoke. An increase in fire activity is expected with a stronger winds forecast, which in turn would hamper firefighting efforts. Firefighters from as far away as Africa are headed to Canada to help relieve the exhausted Canadian crews. Now, if you're flying out for the weekend, be prepared for the possibility of more flight delays. You're looking live at RDU. We just checked for you. Only a few delays right now. But within the last 2 hours, the FAA tweeted that thunderstorms could cause delays for flights in and out of New York, Boston, Philadelphia, and D.C. This weekend, the flights most likely to be affected by the haze would be to and from the Midwest as the smoke heads that way.
Well, Durham police are searching for a person wanted for a stabbing. This incident happened around 8:30 in the 2800 block of North Roxborough Street. Officers found a man with life-threatening injuries. He was taken to Durham Area Hospital for treatment. His name and condition have not been released. Police say this appears to be an isolated incident. Tributes are growing for three sisters killed in a car crash in Moore County. Family and friends gathered in Southern Pines last night to release balloons in memory of Gloria McCremen, Cheryl Medlin, and Viola Singletary. Family members say the three were on their way to Fayetteville to pick up a truck on Wednesday when another car hit theirs head-on. State troopers say the driver of that car also died. A fifth person was seriously hurt.
Next at noon, the man who was last seen with 18-year-old Natalie Holloway faces a judge. A preview of what will happen inside an Alabama courtroom later today.
Also, remember this scene from Asiana Airlines flight last month? We'll hear from the man who was sitting next to the passenger who opened that emergency exit door.
And today, North Carolina is hosting a presidential visit. President Biden and the First Lady landed at Seymour Johnson Air Force Base about 40 minutes ago. Still to come, a big announcement planned for the president's stop at Fort Liberty later this afternoon.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Later today, Joern van der Sloot will face a U.S. judge for the first time in the Natalie Holloway disappearance case. Van der Sloot arrived in the States yesterday under heavy guard from Peru. NBC's Sam Brock is in Birmingham, Alabama, with a preview of today's court hearing.
In Birmingham, Alabama, what once seemed to be implausible is about to become a reality. Joern van der Sloot will be arraigned in this federal courthouse behind me later today. He's expected to hear his two charges, extortion and wire fraud, plead not guilty, be assigned a federal defender, and then detained by the judge. Now, all of this comes almost two decades after Natalie Holloway first disappeared. That was back in 2005 when she left on a graduation trip to Aruba, and van der Sloot was one of the last people she was seen with, along with two brothers. Now, mind you, he's never been charged with her murder. He has, however, been charged with trying to extort the family, asking them for $250,000 to provide information about her disappearance, which, according to the family attorney, proved to be worthless. Beth Holloway will be in court later today. She's already issued a statement ahead of this arraignment saying that it has been so hard and so long waiting these nearly two decades to finally get some semblance of justice. But now she said she's experiencing a glimmer of hope as van der Sloot will be appearing before a judge anytime now. In Birmingham, Sam Brock, NBC News.
Van der Sloot has been serving a 28-year sentence in Peru after confessing to killing a Peruvian woman.
A manhunt is underway after a man shot a police officer in San Diego during a pursuit. The officer says he approached a man who was trying to steal a car. The man jumped out of the vehicle, and as he was running toward an apartment complex, shot the officer in the arm and kept running. That man remains on the run as is considered armed and dangerous. At least three people are being treated at a Boston-area hospital after a donation to a thrift store was believed to be hazardous. This happened at a resale donation center in the Jamaica Plains neighborhood. Police did not say what type of item was donated that prompted the hazmat response. No word yet on the condition of the three people hospitalized. Police are still investigating whether that item is actually dangerous.
We're hearing from the man who was sitting by a passenger who opened the emergency exit door of an Asiana Airlines flight. It happened last month as the plane was about to land in South Korea. Paula Hancock spoke with the man about his actions after the landing.
It turned into the flight from hell. An Asiana passenger allegedly opened the emergency exit door a couple of minutes before the aeroplane was about to land in South Korea. The man sitting next to him, seen here in red trousers, tells CNN he thought he was going to die.
In disaster movies, everyone always seems to die when a door opens in the air. I wondered what I had done wrong in my life. It was just a fleeting moment, but I had so many thoughts.
Lee Yun-jun says he didn't see the man opening the door and initially assumed it was a technical malfunction.
The wind was stinging my legs and hitting my face so hard I couldn't even breathe properly.
What was the man next to you doing?
He didn't say anything. We were both trembling with fear. He seemed tense. When I looked down, I noticed his feet swaying in the wind.
Police arrested the man in his 30s at Daegu Airport after the plane landed safely. He told them he felt suffocated and wanted to get off the plane quickly, adding he'd been under a lot of stress after losing his job, according to police.
From the moment he boarded the plane, he looked pale and gave off a bad vibe. He appeared somewhat dark, constantly fidgeting, looking around at people and acting strangely.
Asiana says it has stopped selling certain emergency exit seats for safety reasons. An investigation is underway to find out how the door was able to be opened 700 feet from the ground. As soon as the wheels touched down, Lee said the passenger appeared to try and jump from the fast-moving plane.
I heard the sound of someone next to me undoing his seatbelt. I realized he was leaning towards the exit. The flight attendant then shouted, asking for help, so I just grabbed him.
Lee was helped by other passengers and flight attendants and is amused that he's being hailed as a hero.
I'm actually enjoying it. I suddenly became a temporary celebrity.
Lee feels he's been given a second chance at life and he is determined to enjoy it.
I can smile about it now, but how terrifying. That was Paula Hancock's reporting. The passenger who opened the plane door faces fines of at least $770 million for damaging the plane and the damages suffered by other passengers.
Well, coffee production in some parts of the world could be disrupted by weather phenomenon, and that could mean surge in prices. And El Nino brings warmer than normal ocean temperatures and fuels hotter weather around the world. It could threaten the Southeast Asia region with drought affecting some major coffee producers. That could mean tight supply and higher prices for the type of beans that are used to make espresso and instant coffee.
Well, we are tracking the changes in air quality out there, and we have a little more orange than yellow for the code alerts.
And that's a good news. Let's get right to meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRSB Weather Center tracking our day.
Yeah, this morning we were talking about the code red that we had, and of course we were urging people around Wake County, Franklin County, where we had that code red, to just not exert yourself outside. So we're back to code orange now, and we're looking at that number dropping as we get through the next few hours, potentially. Our code orange just updated. This is our current air quality map that updates automatically as we start to see some changes. And we have had that orange area expand. I showed you this at the beginning of the newscast just about 10 minutes or so ago. And now that orange has expanded back here to parts of Chatham County, Durham and Orange County, up through Person County and into Mecklenburg County, Virginia, all the way over to the east to Roanoke Rapids. So we are seeing a good chunk of the viewing area showing up as code orange right now. The forecast was also expanded, especially north and east of the Triangle area. This is what it looks like now. Earlier this morning, it just included Wake County, and now it includes Johnston County and all the counties northward as you head all the way up through Northampton County. Now, of course, we are seeing some code orange back here across parts of Chatham County, as well as Durham and Orange County. So no matter where you are, we're going to be fluctuating between orange and yellow. So the best thing to do is just to, you know, use some common sense. If you or some of your family members are in that sensitive group, young children, elderly, or people with asthma or other respiratory issues, just want to take it easy and not exert yourself outside this afternoon. We also have, you know, lots of code yellow. Code yellow we see pretty regularly in the summer when we have hot, hazy days. It's just an indication that there is some pollution in the atmosphere, but it's not at a level that's likely to harm people. Here's a look at what's happening. We still have our wind coming out of the north. If we didn't have all the smoke, it would actually be a pretty nice day today. Low humidity, pleasant temperatures. By tomorrow, we stop that flow of air coming from the north as a high pressure system begins to build in. And as that high moves eastward, it shifts our wind direction to southerly. That's going to really bump up our temperatures on Sunday, but it's also going to stop the flow of the smoke from Canada to coming down into our area. So our air quality will improve as we get through the weekend. Right now, here's a look at Pinehurst Resort and Country Club. Plenty of people out there on the golf course. Again, Pinehurst and all of the Sandhills are in a code yellow right now, which means it's absolutely fine to get out to, you know, as long as you don't show any symptoms, but the air quality there is at yellow, which is, of course, fine to be outside. 76 is our current temperature. We will climb into the low 80s this afternoon. Feels great. Today and tomorrow, our dew points are nice and low, but Monday, we jump to tropical. Here's the caveat. Monday, we're going to see rain, so we would expect there to be a lot of moisture in the atmosphere, but Sunday, we're going to see that dew point at around 60 with a high of 90, potentially for the first time this year. We still haven't hit 90 at RDU. We've seen that in Fayetteville a few times, but officially at RDU, could be our first 90 degree day of the year, and it'll be a little bit sticky. It does look dry over the weekend, so it may be a nice weekend for the pool. Once our front comes through on Monday, we'll see highs in the 80s. Coming up, we'll talk about the timing and how much rain we could see on Monday.
Suppose that was inevitable, that at some point we're going to see 90. I know it is June. Elizabeth, thank
coming.
You. It's coming. Food stored in a chemical bottle was just one of the problems inspectors found at a local restaurant. That's later today at 5 in this week's Restaurant Ratings.
And Pride Month celebrations are in full swing, including in our nation's capital, where big crowds are expected to gather this weekend. But the celebrations come during a rise in anti-LGBTQ legislation. Today at 4, how the LGBTQ plus community is staying strong as their fight for equality continues. And our news continues here at noon. One airline is trying to make its planes more accessible for disabled passengers, the prototype that could someday make traveling in powered wheelchairs more secure.
And the Supreme Court sides with Jack Daniels in a legal dispute. Find out what's at the center of this lawsuit. Happening right now in the WREL Live Center, we have an update to a story we brought you just about 10 minutes ago. Joran van der Sloot has pleaded not guilty in U.S. federal court to charges that in the alleged extortion of the mother of Natalie Holloway, that was the American teenager who disappeared in 2005. He was indicted in 2010 on federal charges of extortion and wire fraud in connection with a plot to sell information about the whereabouts of Holloway's remains in exchange for $250,000. He did arrive in the U.S. yesterday under heavy guard from Peru. He has been serving a 28-year sentence in Peru for his confessing of killing a Peruvian woman.
Delta unveiled a prototype for a seat to better accommodate travelers with disabilities. The new seat works by folding up and allowing a wheelchair to dock into place. It was created in partnership with a UK company and was shown at an aviation expo in Germany. The seat can be used in both standard mode and to enable powered wheelchair access. Visitors called it a star of the show. No word yet on when it will be ready for use in Delta planes. Uber is launching its car share service in the United States. The service lets people rent out their cars for cash. This option gives users a way to borrow a nearby car for hours or even longer. Uber launched CarShare last year in Australia. Now, here in the U.S., it was first rolled out in Boston. No date has been announced just yet as to when the service will be available.
Meta is working on a new broadcasting feature for its WhatsApp messaging service. Meta says a feature called Channels will be like a private broadcast service. Channel administrators will be able to send things like videos, texts, and photos to followers who will not be able to reply to the messages. Unlike regular WhatsApp messages, Channels will not use end-to-end encryption so that they can reach a wide audience. Users will eventually be able to find the channels they want to join in a searchable directory. Meta could also be adding a new dimension to its short video feature. The tech company announced it is testing out Reels on the Quest VR headset. The feature appears to work similar to other apps on the headset and would allow you to scroll through short videos in virtual reality. Meta has not said whether the feature will be available in the Quest version of Instagram.
Well, the U.S. Supreme Court has given Jack Daniels the green light to sue the company behind a dog toy that looks just like a bottle of the whiskey. Bad Spaniels, the squeaky chew toy, has a label similar to the recognizable black label of Jack Daniels. The makers of the whiskey said the toy violated trademark laws by confusing consumers and hurting the brand's value. The justices agreed and ruled the parody dog toy breached the trademark protections of Jack Daniels. Well, military families will soon receive some much-needed help. The executive order the president and first lady are expected to announce this afternoon.
Plus, a selfless act of love. A son shaves his head to support his mother. Then the unimaginable happened. That story later. First, here's a look at the winning lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
At the top of the hour, we told you about President Biden's visit to Rocky Mount, where he's expected to tour Nash Community College in less than 30 minutes. Then the Bidens will head to Fort Liberty around 3:30 this afternoon. The president and first lady will be announcing a new executive order on post today. Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays explains the focus of that executive order.
Well, first of all, I got to get used to this sign saying Fort Liberty. I've been here for 44 years, so I'm going to have to make a little adjustment. And during that time, I have covered a number of presidents who have visited here, President Clinton, both Bushes, and President Obama as well. Anytime a president comes here, security is extra tight. To give you an example, photojournalist Keith Baker had to be here on post at 9 o'clock this morning to get his equipment in place for an event that's going to happen later this afternoon. Let's talk about today's visit and the reason that the First Lady and president are coming here. They're here to announce a new executive order. It's called the Joining Forces Initiative. It will be focusing on hiring and retaining military family members in the federal government workforce. Now, that initiative also aims at helping military spouses obtain jobs outside the federal government and offer a little bit more extra care and access to child care. We will be escorted on the post to the Hercules Fitness Physical Fitness Center in about 1 o'clock or so, a little less than a half hour, and that's where the President and First Lady will be making their remarks. We will have all of that for you and report on it in our later newscast. Reporting here at Fort Liberty, Gilbert Bays, WREL News.
Three big names in the race for the Republican presidential nomination are headed to Greensboro today. Former President Trump, former Vice President Mike Pence, and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis plan to speak at the North Carolina GOP convention. It's the first time all three will be in the same place as presidential candidates. NC Capitol reporter Will Dorn joins us now with what this means for the upcoming election. Will, this is the first time that these candidates are all in one place. What do we expect DeSantis to say tonight?
So, you know, as many people, many Republicans know, former President Trump has made a habit of really attacking DeSantis, calling him nicknames, downplaying his record as governor. DeSantis, on the other hand, he's going to have to take a little bit more measured approach. You know, maybe not criticizing Trump by name, because frankly, many Republicans still like Trump, and DeSantis wants those voters to vote for him. Now, Trump won North Carolina in 2016 and 2020, and so we're expecting to hear DeSantis talk about his own record as governor in Florida and, you know, his efforts to combat what he calls woke ideology in schools and universities down there.
Has DeSantis said anything about Trump at this point, and where could we see some criticism?
Yeah, so, you know, there has been some criticism. There's got to be. And, you know, he's trying to do something difficult, which is to, you know, on the same time, run to the right of Trump, but also position himself as the more electable candidate in a general election against Joe Biden. So that can be tricky, but, you know, he's, for instance, he's criticized Trump for not going far enough on border security. He's criticized him over his support of COVID vaccines. And he's pointed out that Trump once called for raising the age for Social Security. Now, you know, the Trump campaign has pointed out that Trump said that 20 years ago in a book he wrote. And actually, more recently, DeSantis voted when he was in Congress to raise Social Security. So you've kind of got this war of words back and forth between the two of them.
Yeah, so far attacking the policies, but not the man yet. Do we have any polling that shows which candidate has a better shot of beating President Biden in North Carolina?
Well, take it with a big grain of salt, because, I mean, the election's still 18 months out. You know, DeSantis just launched his campaign. Mike Pence, who's also running, who's also going to be here tomorrow, just launched his campaign. So, you know, voters are still kind of learning about their policies for presidential races. But, you know, the handful of polls that we do have show that, you know, DeSantis might pull a few points ahead of Trump in a head-to-head with Biden. So obviously it's still early, but that is what the polls show so far.
Okay, Will Dorn, thank you so much for your insight and analysis. We appreciate it. WRAL has teams of reporters covering every angle of both the convention and President Biden's visit this weekend. You can track our coverage on air on WRAL.com and on the WRAL News app.
And it's happening right now in the WREL Live Center. National civil rights attorney Ben Crump right now is meeting with the family of Darrell Williams. That is the man who died after a confrontation with Raleigh police. This is a picture of him here. They're responding to the autopsy findings from the state that were released 2 days ago that ruled Williams' death a homicide. Now, a few things that they're questioning here are the practices of proactive policing. They emphasize he was minding his own business, and they're also demanding the DA bring charges, and they're calling on the police chief to fire the officers involved in all of this. Crump went on to say he did not die from natural causes. What we saw in the video was clear. Had they not tased him, he would not have died. We will have more on this story coming up at 4 o'clock.
Financial assistance is now available to aspiring North Carolina teachers, as well as nearly 1,000 current teachers who need to pass state-required license exams. Teach NC will provide reimbursements for the cost of the exam or study materials for licensing exams. Those fees can average at or above $450. The initiative is being funded by $3 million from the federal government's Emergency Education Relief Fund, which is controlled by Governor Cooper. Well, if you get into a fender bender here in North Carolina, the person who shows up might not be a police officer. That's what would happen under a bill that's close to becoming law. It would allow cities to train regular people to investigate small traffic crashes where no one was hurt. Supporters say it will help police spend more time on more important cases, especially as many departments deal with a staffing shortage. A final vote could happen next week. It would then be on Governor Cooper's desk.
Now to the war in Ukraine. NBC's Raf Sanchez reports on a new counteroffensive by Ukraine toward Russia.
After months of planning, of training, of marshaling their forces, Ukraine's long-awaited counteroffensive against Russian occupying troops is now underway. That's according to a senior Ukrainian officer and a soldier near the front line here in Zaporizhia who spoke to NBC News. Neither would go into detail about where exactly Ukrainian forces are attacking, nor what their objectives are. But we know from both the White House and the British government that intense fighting is underway along multiple sectors of the hundreds-mile-long front line in the east and the south of this country. And some of the most intense fighting is happening east of where we are in Zaporizhia. Russia's military has released drone footage showing fighting there. And two analysts who reviewed the footage for NBC News say it shows that Western battle tanks have been sent into combat by Ukraine for the first time in this war. They say this footage shows German-made Leopard 2 tanks being used against Russian forces. Meanwhile, President Biden, speaking at the White House yesterday alongside the British Prime Minister, says U.S. support for Ukraine's military is unwavering, despite the fact that Republicans are now in charge of the House of Representatives and have expressed some skepticism about continuing military aid to Ukraine. Raf Sanchez, NBC News, Zaporizhia, Ukraine.
You know, many of us are so dependent on our four-wheel rides that we don't really give much love to our two-wheeled rides. Up next, the exhibit that's helping people learn more about bicycles and their effect on our community.
And looking to invest in some real estate, an entire town in Texas is now on the market, less than what it would cost to buy a single-family home.
Well, bicycles aren't just for kids. They're simple and efficient modes of transportation, not to mention exercise. Now there's an entire exhibit dedicated to these rides on two wheels. Gear Up, the Science of Bikes, recently opened in Jackson, Mississippi. It contains more than a dozen interactive features and a collection of bikes over the years. The museum said the exhibit is both educational and entertaining.
It's, I guess, a really easy way to package like a lot of physics and stuff like that and some chemistry in for a younger audience. And it's super fun. It's just a fun exhibit. Like, I play with it. Other people on staff play with it.
Oh, a fun museum to work at, right? Gear Up, the Science of Bikes will be on display until January.
An entire town in Texas is up for sale at a price that's less than most houses. The current owner and a few friends paid $20,000 for the 10-acre town of Lobo, Texas, back in 2001. It's basically a ghost town now. The last residents left in 1991, leaving behind an empty swimming pool, a motel, and a few houses. The owner is now selling Lobo for $100,000. The owner is taking bids on the property until June 24th. Honoring the legacy of a slain civil rights leader, the new designation for the Medgar and Merle Evers home.
If I could do something with him, to help you in the slightest bit to help him get through, I'm going to do it.
All right, you just have 3 minutes to grab some tissue. After the break, we'll tell you what inspired a group of friends to stand in solidarity. Well, Monday will mark 60 years since the assassination of civil rights leader Medgar Evers. The house he lived in and where he died is now part of the National Park System. Several national, state, and city figures attended the grand opening ceremony at the Medgar and Merle Evers Home National Monument in Jackson, Mississippi. The ceremony was part of a week-long celebration honoring Evers' legacy. Now, during the ceremony, Merle Evers Williams reflected on Evers' civil rights mission.
I never could quite understand how that man felt so seriously strong and good about the state of Mississippi. And I would ask him, how can you? And his answer was always, how can't I?
Very powerful there. Evers was shot to death and he got out of his car in his driveway on June 12, 1963. He was just 37 years old. Byron Dilla Beckwith was convicted in 1994 of his murder after two previous trials in 1964 ended in hung juries. Dilla Beckwith later died in prison in 2001.
Support is pouring in for a Florida mother battling cancer. Her son decided to shave his head to support his mother, who lost her hair while receiving chemo treatments. Jose Diaz-Villar spoke with the 15-year-old about his unexpected surprise.
Hi, Mom. You know, I don't really know what I'm doing right now, but I'm doing it because I love you.
This is 15-year-old Elijah Ford deciding to do something special to support his mom, Tamika, who is battling breast cancer. With the help of his closest friends, Elijah shaved his head.
Love you, Mom.
Elijah, overcome with emotion.
The fact that I was doing it for my mom, it just touched me, I guess. Because I felt like I was actually like helping her in a way.
Then the unthinkable happened.
Hey, Miss Tamika. I love Elijah like he's my brother. I can't imagine what you're going through.
And one by one, his friends joined in.
Tamika, tell me a little bit about what was going through your head when you woke up, your son for school, and you saw that he had his head shaved.
I was like really happy and already starting to tear up. And then he showed me the video of the boys and I just bawled in pure joy. It was a great moment for us.
Hey, Ma, I love you.
Happy Mother's Day.
Big gesture of love and support for both Tamika and Elijah. But for the boys, it meant something more.
He's like family to me. And I'm at their house all the time and he's at mine, so I consider like a second mother to me.
Tamika is still undergoing treatment, spending most days in the hospital, but is determined to stay positive, aware that life can be fragile.
Something that was so devastating has truly turned into many, many blessings. I've developed friends that I didn't even really know them, my friends, you know, and this to appreciate every moment of life.
And encourages others to do the same.
But while we're in the midst of life, let's not worry or be saddened or gripe about the little things. Instead, look at the hard things and see how that will make you grow as a person.
We told you to get a tissue. Yeah. You needed one, too.
We're going to need one.
Man.
Oh, just that love and support that those friends are showing and for the son, too. It's a beautiful thing. And for those who are on their cancer journey, there are blessings along the way, we hope.
And it's those dark times you know who your friends are.
And that's true friends right there.
Let's turn our attention now to meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner, the WR Severe Weather Center. We're seeing a little bit more yellow, but still some unhealthy air quality out there.
Yeah, it's hard to follow that story, isn't it? Oh, that was amazing. So we talked about this current map. This is a look at our current air quality map. It updates in real time, and it keeps changing, of course, as we get through the day. Early this morning, we had some code red across parts of Wake County and Franklin County. And this afternoon, we're looking at code orange from the Triangle area northward. And it's changed a little bit since we started the newscast around noon. So I would just say, if you're anywhere from the Triangle area northward, you're going to see see a mix of code yellow and code orange numbers. So the best thing to do through the afternoon is if you or any of your family members are in the sensitive groups, such as children, the elderly, or anyone with lung issues, asthma, that sort of thing, you just want to take it easy outside again today. It does look like we're on our way to some better air quality over the weekend, and I'll show you why coming up. If you're down to the south, say Goldsboro, Fayetteville, down through the Sand Hills, it's less likely that you're going to see anything but just yellow. So this afternoon, it should be just fine. Of course, our air quality alert was expanded a bit onto the north and east from our forecast earlier this morning. And here's what we're looking at this weekend. It looks like right now that Saturday would be code yellow. Code yellow means, hey, you know, there's a little bit of pollution in the atmosphere, but it's not enough that it should cause any real problems. And then, of course, Sunday is green, meaning our air quality is good. And so I think a lot of us are looking forward to that. We take a look at our tower camera. Certainly, as we look west across Wake County, once again, we see a lot of smoke and haze in the atmosphere. But that will change as our weather pattern changes over the weekend. We have a cold front that's back to our west. That cold front will start to edge eastward. High pressure will build in, and that high pressure system will help to shift our winds to southerly, and that will stop that flow of smoke from moving into North Carolina. It's also going to warm us up, and it's going to be a bit more muggy. We change that flow to southerly, and there's a consequence to that, certainly. On Sunday, we're looking at rain back to our west. Sunday, we stay dry. Monday morning, there could be an isolated shower, but later in the day, we see that front coming through. There's 1 p.m. By the time we get to the evening commute, that looks like the most likely time for some scattered storms, and a few of those could be strong. Beach forecast looks good over the weekend. There may be a little bit of lingering haze on Saturday, but temperatures from Emerald Isle to Wrightsville Beach to Nag's Head will be in the upper 70s to around 80 degrees. That's pretty perfect. And the mountain forecast, too, looking good. Mid-80s in Asheville. In Boone, higher elevations, 75, and up around Grandfather Mountain, temperatures will be in the mid to upper 60s if you're looking to be a little on the cool side. Around here, it could end up being a pretty good pool weekend. 87 for tomorrow, 90 potentially for the first time this year at RDU. And then we transition to that wetter pattern on Monday. Monday in the afternoon and evening, there'll be some scattered thunderstorms, and then temperatures are close to normal for highs for much of next week.
All right, Elizabeth, we knew we should have enjoyed those nice cool days a few weeks ago. Well, they don't call them magnificent jewels for nothing. A pair of gems break records at auction in New York. What we know about the buyers. As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. Air Force One touching down in Goldsboro earlier this morning. The President and First Lady are in our state. First, they'll visit Rocky Mount, then Fort Liberty. Meantime, GOP presidential candidates are in Greensboro. Donald Trump, Mike Pence, and Ron DeSantis will be at the state GOP convention. WREL will have full coverage of all these events today and tomorrow.
National civil rights attorney Ben Crump is speaking in Raleigh right now, talking about the autopsy findings in the Darrell Williams case. Williams is the man who died back in January after a confrontation with Raleigh police. This is body cam video from the incident. Wake County's DA is still weighing whether to charge the six officers involved.
And wildfire smoke from Canada still polluting the air in our area. Several counties in our area, including Wake, are under code orange. Things are expected to clear up as we head into the weekend, though. But if you've got a flight out of RDU International, watch out for delays as parts of the Midwest start to feel the effects of that smoke.
The Magnificent Jewels auction made history, becoming the first to sell two jewels for more than $30 million each in the same sale. A private collector from the Middle East paid nearly $35 million for the Estrella de Fura. The 55-carat stone is believed to be the world's largest ruby. And a confidential buyer purchased a dazzling rare 10.5-carat purplish pink diamond for a record $34.8 million.
Definite conversation starter there. Well, have you used a Google search engine today? You might not know the name, but you definitely know his choreography. Willie Ninja paved the path for Black LGBTQ plus representation and acceptance in the 1980s and 90s. Ninja is known as the godfather of voguing. The performers featured in this Google doodle are current members of the House of Ninja, dancing in celebration of Willie's legacy.
Our pet of the day is a chatty little sweetheart from the SPCA of Wake County. Dorito is as addictive as her namesake. This two-month-old spayed female kitten was rescued along with her two litter mates. Dorito appears to have a condition that requires extra care and should be the only cat in the home. Interested adopters can get more information at spcawake.org.
We want to remind you that WREL is your trusted source for coverage of several high-profile visits from the 2024 presidential contenders. WREL has teams of reporters covering every angle of both the GOP convention in Greensboro and President Biden's visit this weekend.
And of course, you can check all this information online on WREL.com and over the air, and of course, the WREL News app. A great weekend.
Keep watching WREL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.